Support for this podcast comes from the patrons at patreon.com/FMLFPL.
Okay! Welcome to FMLFPL on the line.
It's Walsh.
So the game's open, everyone's popping off. How you doing? How you feeling?
It's fucking Christmas Day.
It really is. Really is.
So fun when it opens. Just scan every team, see who the vinegar strokes are, and just so good.
It very much disrupted both of our mornings, all of our days, all sleep patterns, everything. It's just like, even without fixtures, it's still just so good.
It's so better.
Yeah, it's kind of better. It's kind of freeing.
Yeah, because you don't have like the five teams that are bad fixtures don't have to look at, right? We just look at them all. It's more fun.
Yeah, that's true. So, all right, before we go on to reaction pod, this will probably be a short one if I had to guess, just lads talking FPL. Our schedule is basically going to be this for preseason. So we have tonight's pod, then a week from tonight, Saturday, premium price pod. Then a week from then, mid-price pod. Week from that, cheap pod. And then the Thursday before the first match of the season, we'll do Thursday My Life, like the Patreon subscriber pencils down pod.
Just for people who haven't maybe listened to those pods, the preseason for years past, the way we do it is like when he says premium, we go through each position and the premium price, and then mid-tier and lower tier. Like we like comparing players in the price bracket rather than go by position. Yeah. So that's kind of how we do it.
Yeah. That's how we've done it for, I think, two seasons running now, and it's been
it's been
our favorite one. I don't know. There's a lot of different ways to do it. Discord's great, popping off, get in there. A lot of people join in preseason. It's the best time to join. It's the most fun time to join. And the prize league's up. We're adding more prizes. So every Patreon subscriber should have gotten to email or whatever. Get in there, sign up, more prizes. Let's go.
Yeah, it's all good. Support the lads.
Let's go, dude. Okay, so where do you want to start? I have no idea where to start. There's questions, and then there's just whatever we want to talk about.
Let's start with questions, see where that takes us.
Okay.
Because last pod, we didn't do any, so let's
see. Yeah, we had a cheeky Raymond in the questions channel. Are you guys going to answer questions?
Raymond?
Yeah, exactly, Raymond.
Yeah.
Dan R., with midfield having much stronger options than forwards, but zero good enablers, 5-5 and under, do you start with three?
That's quite the thing to say there.
Do you start with 3 6-plus forwards, or do you completely sacrifice the bench spot to play 3-5-2?
That's too much for me to... there are too many things there. But first of all, 5-5 and under mid-bracket certainly has some names, right?
In the forwards?
No, in the midfield.
He's talking about forwards.
Oh, is he talking about forwards?
Yeah, he's talking about forwards.
Yeah, fucking
that's
forwards.
That's why he's saying,
like,
you basically have to sack a bench spot for a non-playing guy if you're only going to go to, less than three forwards, which is probably true. I mean, I haven't looked that much at the 4-5s, but I don't think there's any shouts in there, right?
No, the forwards are really bad. Like, the cheap ones. It's really 6 million. There's a couple names, but otherwise it's just 6-5 and up.
Like, maybe Keenan Davis. I mean, Obafemi is probably the standout, like, maybe guy to me.
And I don't think he's going to play enough. Though,
no, I don't think so either. But
dude, can you hear this dog? Are you fucking kidding me?
No, I don't hear it.
It's unreal.
Oh, now I hear it. Oh, yeah.
It's fucking Albus, dude. Neighbor's dog is going insane.
God, come on. During a reaction pod? You hate to see
it. Sort it out. Ooh.
So, yeah, I mean, have you tinkered with, two striker formations?
Or have you been that's kind of... No, I've had two or three. I mean, I don't give a shit about the bench, right? Like, having 2 4-5 forwards that don't play, or one or two, like, I just don't really care that much, because
I care a little bit.
Whatever. I don't care. It's like every year we do the same thing with the bench. It's like
I just want just guys put it on who the pitch. Play, though. I just want guys who play. At least one or two.
I mean, just one is enough, though, I think. Like, one's enough.
It might be.
One's enough, I think. So
just a nailed 4 or 5 minute.
Yeah, or you're the defender, like whatever. Yeah. If it's, you know, if it's a 4-5-1 or 3-5-2 or whatever it is. But I think, I mean, to me, the most egregious mispriced player in the game is Werner. Like, by Timo. A lot, I think. Yeah, like, I think he's... He's so good, and the team attacks, and he reminds me of when Mo came in first year at 9-5, but he has more pedigree. Like, Mo still was coming from Rome, and like, I don't know.
He had like a breakout year, but like an underlying breakout year, not like a 30-goal year, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, Werner's been doing it for years. I mean, the German team, like, kind of ripped it up to put him up top. I mean, he's so good. And I think that it's not going to be very long before he's in most teams. And it seems like maybe a lot of the community who doesn't stay too plugged into like other leagues don't realize, but he's like really good. And I thought 10-5 like minimum for him coming in.
I thought so too.
And I mean, even like 11, I would have not been surprised because
I would have been like, wow, pretty high, but Timo.
Yeah, he could earn that, right?
Yeah.
And I just think it's really fucked out of whack that he's 9-5. So, I mean, he's like a 30 returner to me, and I think he's fantastic. So that's thrown my pre-cog shit upside down because he's 1,000% of my team with Ziyech, unless if one of them gets hurt. But otherwise, like, that second spot, even if I go three forwards, right? They're just, I think there are still like a lot of forwards I like Ings and Jim are both 8-5.
A lot of the pricing through and through really was like pretty favorable for us. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot
but,
of cheap ones.
I mean, let's talk about Kun a little though, because he's the cheapest he's literally ever been in the game for the last decade. He's
so when you were saying the most egregious underpricing in the game, like for me, it's by far Kun. Because Werner, at least, there's like a little bit of unknown, right? It's like, it's a new league. It's who knows what Frank's going to do. Like, he can play wide. Frank loves rotation. Like, there's some questions. With Kun, there's just no questions. If he's fit, 10-5 is a joke. Actual joke. We said, I think we even said exactly on Postmortem Pod, like, he could be 10-5 or something with an injury. Yeah. And then it's like a ridiculous underpricing. And that, I mean, he hasn't left any single tinker of mine. I think it's just absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, me too also. I mean, I have them too, and then a 4-5. That's been what I've been playing around with most of the day. And I mean, we still don't know if he's going to be ready for game. He should be because he was kind of touch and go for this UCL shit, so he should be. And
yeah, there was talk about him maybe making if they go super late into UCL, which but
Jesus is just... He's fine, but you know, we watch the game today, right? It's like that's everything about him. He's okay, great work, great, like cool, bro. But like Kun scores for fun, and everyone says that Kun's bad for the last 2 years since they got Jesus. Like, it's like everyone says it's like a matter of time. Jesus is gonna start getting more starts. Jesus is gonna get starts. Like Kun's gonna start fading away. Like when he plays, he's fucking amazing, and his stats are off the page, and he shoots, he's selfish, he's in the fucking pen spot. Like, even if he doesn't have pens, it's just, he's so good, so...
I mean, he hasn't slowed down even a slight sign at all of slowing down.
Yeah, so. Even though he has been playing for a while and he's not a spring chicken, he doesn't have a lot of minutes in his legs. Like, he doesn't play these 4,000-minute seasons, like, with international comps, right?
Yeah, that's
like, he's always has a little hamstring. He always plays 2,500 minutes or under, you know, every year pretty much since he's been in the Prem and shit. And he barely plays for Argentina, kind of. So he's, like, he's not that old. And, I mean, 10-5 is... I feel like that's going to be something where, like, me and you or, like, some Slack, like, he's going to be pretty low, I think, owned in general.
I mean, I hope so.
I think he's going to be a big one for us, like, in our folks.
Yeah, I mean, the cheapest he's ever started a season was 11. And the last time he started at 11, 13-14 season, he ended at 12-6.
He's good.
It's ridiculous.
Like, he's really good.
It's just crazy. I don't know how we started talking about this, but this is how this episode's going to go. For those who who are not feeling this energy, it's like, this is all day for us.
And, it's just, and it's so fucking good that people are like, oh, like Kane's 10-5. Like, oh my God, Kane. And it's like, no one's talking about Kuhn.
He just sneaks in there. He's just streaming like Fall Guys every day, streaming just stupid as shit, just hanging out at home. Yeah, I mean, I think you're the age thing. We can get off Kuhn, but the age thing also, I think he just conserves himself really well. Like, he conserves his energy and stuff. All the best players do, right? So,
yeah.
Not worried about him at all.
10-5, yeah.
Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And dude, you know what? I'm going to pull the fucking clip from the postmortem because I'm 95% sure you called him 10-5, like, exactly. And we were both like, that could be ridiculous.
I don't remember that, but you can clip it.
I'll clip it. Simple Mug, are there any price brackets that you lads feel contain a single standout option? Armstrong in that 6 million and below range could be the real deal.
For midfield?
Weird question.
Well, I don't know about a single, but I think in terms of like the 6-5 and under forward spot, it's definitely Antonio or Wood there, right?
Oh, and forwards?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I've had Antonio from the jump also. My forward line hasn't changed, and every single tinker, my forward line hasn't
changed. Antonio, Verns, and Kuhn. And Kuhn.
Yeah, I just find all of them to be very underpriced in where I had them in my head.
I don't trust Antonio one bit.
I know you don't like Antonio, but like the comparison with Wood is not remotely close.
No, it's not. It really, you're right. It's not.
It's really not. And we both really like Wood, and still not. So like, yeah, I don't know. Is there anyone else that even has like caught your eye in the 6-5 and under forwards?
Yeah, Antonio's stats at the end of the fucking at the restart were really stupid. I don't know it's what West Ham were doing. I don't get I just feel like that's a trap though. Like, I feel like West Ham's a trap because they had such easy fixtures after restart and they had everything to play for, and I believe. I don't believe at all. I feel nervous about West Ham.
Yeah.
I'm very nervous.
They had easy fixtures, but, I mean, they still played. I mean, they weren't all easy. They had Wolves, Spurs, Chelsea, and Man United in there. And
yeah.
Antonio absolutely destroyed in all of them.
I believe. Antonio. But, yeah, no, I know you do. Okay, that's going to be a big one this month. Antonio and yeah,
third in non-penalty XG per 90 in the season.
Yeah, no, his shots and his goal attempts, like he was like 28 shots in the box since restart, like fucking insane. He had 12 big chances.
Insane.
In like 10 games or whatever. It's like more than one a game. Yeah.
Is there anyone else?
Antonio and Wood at 6-5 and under. Not really talking about really. I mean, DCL came in at 7.
Kind of disappointing. Mitro's only 6.
I get the
I'm fighting so hard.
No, I get the appeal. You know, it's sort of similar to that Pookie thing. And, you know, he's a couple... He was really pretty young in the Prem last. So he was like 22,
he's
23.
He's still only 25 now.
Yeah, so this is like really prime of his career. But until we see who they buy, I worry about Fulham creating chances. And we know that Mitro can't do that himself. Like, he's kind of a poacher, sort of a little donk, like needs it.
Yeah.
Needs it on a plate, sort of. Like, he's, you know, he holds up and this and that, things like this nature. But yeah, I don't think, you know, people are like, oh, Talisman, like he's going to get the points when Fulham score. Fulham look like, to me, they're going to go straight back down. Again, we have a month at least in the transfer. There's more than Fulham? What do you got?
No, I just don't. It's like you say the Talisman, blah, 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 all that kind of shit. That's true. And so was Pookie, you know? But that doesn't mean he's good.
Yeah, it doesn't mean he's good. Yeah.
Like, Fulham are second favorites to get relegated. And that it just, I'm reminding myself of like what we talked about on the
who's lower than them?
West Brom. What? West Brom are fucking evens to get relegated.
Oh my God. That makes me want to get John Stone so much more.
More? Well, yeah, because that team always starts like 3-0, right?
Or yeah, three, yeah. Lossell, fucking Etheridge. Been there before, baby.
It always
worst team in the league. Goalkeeper's got 50 points after 4 weeks.
It was, I think it was postmortem. Maybe it was pre. I basically have blended postmortem and precog in my head, but we were talking about like team performance and like waiting the preseason evaluation of a team to avoid the traps like Pookie, right? And it's like, we're going to remember this when some fuck on West Brom has like 5 goals in the first 7 matches. And everyone's like, oh my God, this guy's that. We're going to be like, wait, they're fucking favorites to get relegated and be the worst team in the league. Like,
they're going to come back down to like the level.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But wait, the question was also about the sub-6 mid-bracket.
We didn't
bracket.
Answer any I don't even single know what part the, of the question.
We haven't answered any of the questions
yet. No, we're just fucking... New listeners are, like, listening, like, oh, yeah, that's a good question. And then we just rant about, like, Werner for 20 minutes.
Talk about John Stones.
I don't, like, what's the next question? Weird question. He's asking if there's any guys that stand alone in their price bracket, which I guess Stewie...
I think the idea behind the question is that if you have someone there, that it's bad because there's no flexibility.
Yeah, I was thinking that's bad.
Is that the idea?
He asked it is, like... He sounds, like, excited by Stewie.
Yeah.
But, like, if there's no one that you can directly transfer to, that means the player is inherently less flexible. The spot's less flexible. It's not good.
I mean, I think the five, like, yeah, Stu, Soupcheck at 5. Yeah. Saka at 5-5, possibly a thing. If Laka goes, I'm very interested there.
Yeah, it seems like Laka's going to go.
Yeah, it does seem like that's building a lot of momentum. So, I mean, I think, yeah, Saka at 5-5 is definitely someone to think about. 5-5. I mean, Keita 5-5, that it could be his year.
I looked at it, but the Thiago rumors stay. That's bad. Yeah, they're back, and so I'm just like, ah, it's probably not.
Yeah, probably not. But, I mean, that's enough for me. I mean, Pereira is still not in the game, but he'll probably be 6. That's enough for me, though. I mean, Podencio is 5-5.
I just think odds are, like, none of those guys are good. And Stewie,
so this is something...
Stewie might be, but yeah.
Yeah, but this is something we, like, very quickly talked about in chat earlier today. You're going to get more points out of a defender than any of those players, right? Like, you...
Nailed.
Even if you have to go to Doc at 6, I mean...
Yeah, 0.5 more... He's
Doc's automatic
100% guaranteed to outscore all of those players.
Yeah, he like Doc is going to be minimum like 150 points this year, pretty if he stays fit, right?
Yeah.
So the best case scenario for these mids that are similar, these 5-5 mids, is 150. And so for those reasons,
you're out.
It's probably not great to be there.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I think you're right.
I don't. I mean, I'm seeing a lot of like, you know, so many good 4-5 defenders, and this is like this is a good year to do that. And there are, but there are also a lot of good 5 million defenders. There are also a lot of good 5-5
defenders. Yeah, there's a lot of good defenders.
There are a lot of good defenders.
It's really cool how fantasy has like the trend in world football is like fullbacks and wingbacks and stuff. You know.
Yeah.
Being like the fulcrum of creativity, and fantasy has like followed suit in an interesting way. Yeah. You know, it's like big up the back and all these fullbacks and shit. Yeah, I mean, I just look at Grealish, right? If we're talking about 150, he was main man, talisman, etc., captain, leader, legend, 8 goals, 7 assists, played every second of every game, finished on 149. Like, are any of those guys gonna come close to that? Like, it's
I mean, 7-7's not that difficult.
No, it's nothing
to hit.
Special, but he played 3,200 minutes, was really good on bonus. You know, I just... That's peak. That's like... I don't know.
And 150... But that's also to be said. I mean, 150 is good from that price point. Like, if you have a 5-5 player getting 150, I mean, I'm pulling Doc out, right? He's, like, the best one.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
I mean, if you're looking at the other 5-5 guys, like, from last year... They're more in defense, right? They're more in the like 120 to 130 range. So, you know, if you do hit that 150 from the 5-5 mid, then you're really happy.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's also, you know, we're not holding anyone for 38 game weeks here. So, you know, we'll wait to see the fixtures. But those names, like if they have a few good fixtures, you know, you could start there. And, you know, if it enables things and if you like the rotation in your defense, like I definitely think that that's a bracket that you're okay to have a spot in for sure.
I mean, I've had Stewie in a at a ton of tinkers. Like,
yeah, so, I mean, yeah. He's 5.5 is a good price for him. We have to see if they buy. And I forgot to look. I needed to do a little more looking about Gineppo. I don't know what kind where's he going to play? Like, is he going to threaten Redders? Or
yeah, I think so.
Is that the spot for him?
Yeah, I think he played on the left, right, attacking
on the
mid.
Left. Okay.
Yeah, because I remember Anka was comparing him to, like, Mane, which is the stretch, but, like, cutting in on his right foot goal scorer type of guy.
Yeah.
So I think he comes from the left there.
Okay.
But
I mean, Stu at 5.5, right? It's the same thing that we saw last year. It's like, he has that free roll. The team's good. They press well. They're going to score, like, best of the rest. Good underlying team attacking stats. Yeah, 5.5, there's a lot to like
his
there, for
stats
sure.
are very solid. You know, he didn't play a lot of minutes. Yeah.
I mean, realistically, there are just so many midfielders to choose from.
I know. To be honest, I haven't even gotten through them all. No chance. Like,
yeah, no, I haven't.
It's been
really
so like scattered today that I've just gone with like guys I know I like and stuff, and I haven't even scanned every team.
Yeah.
Eric B, I don't normally consider effective ownership this early in the season, but is it reasonable to consider it for clean sheet shares? For example, if Poole and Wolves have good opening fixtures, clean sheet shares for those teams could easily be over 100 for involved managers. So does that favor defensive double ups over looking elsewhere for defenders?
It's never advantageous to pick your players based on ownership percentage. Like, you need to look at yourself as a manager and what you're analyzing and what you prefer and what you like. And if you think that having two or three defenders is better than having one from a team, then you do that because that's the reason, not because the herd or the sheep are doing it also.
Yeah, I think I agree. I was going to say the only time that it comes into play for my thinking is, like, maybe captaincy.
Yeah, maybe captaincy. If you think it's, like, a knife's edge.
Yeah.
And you want to do the thing that's a little more riffy, like, okay, cool. Like, you take that risk. But in this case, when you're just sculpting and creating your team, it's just too much. It's too much.
Although, I should say, like, we're talking about underpriced players, like, I'm very surprised Trent is 7.5 and he's already at 56% ownership.
Well, and he should be higher. I think it's like, well, I don't know, maybe he wasn't
Liverpool's
going in the auto
fixtures
pick
come
teams.
Out, though, it
doesn't
matter.
Good,
he's going to just keep going up and up, I think.
It doesn't matter. Well, talking about Trent, I mean, I don't really want to talk about Trent, but Rabo at 7 and Van Dijk at 6.5 is big. I mean, that's kind of, we expected those two at those prices.
Yeah.
So what. I was just looking at them compared, like, what they did the last two seasons, right? The title winning season, the one before when they were, you know, right there.
Yeah.
And why would we not have, like, all of them or two in Mo?
There's actually,
like, what's
a question,
the argument against?
Yeah, there's
I don't,
a question.
Because I couldn't figure it out.
There's a question exactly on this. So let me read it. This guy's username is Mourinho is Illuminati. So, that, you know, take that as you will, but
I like it.
Yeah, thoughts on TAA, Rabo, and VVD triple up. They score higher than almost any other player at their price point and easier to predict than the other 6.5 to 7.5 assets, not counting Foden, maybe, and should get more points than any other defender. Yeah, he's targeting you right now.
Okay.
He said you then couldn't get Mo / Mane, but there are other players at their prices that are comparable, unlike the defenders. This feels more like an extreme version of something y'all talked about on Postmortem pod, not transferring defenders. Yeah. Any good arguments against this?
No, I don't have one, honestly.
I mean, flexibility is like the only thing that immediately comes to mind. Where.
Well, but flexibility, what and how, though?
Okay, so this rubs up against the, like, capping TAA is just as good as capping Salah and Mane argument, which.
Fair. Yeah.
We haven't gone deep into, but it's something we've talked about. But, like, okay, Liverpool have home Leeds, home Fulham, away fucking Dick, you know, next three. And
Dick's a tough one. The first two are good, though.
Yeah, I mean, away Dick is not easy, but you still expect Liverpool to come away with the points there. And everyone else is, like, capping Mo or Mane. Are you limiting your own ceiling by going with your City guy or
Werner's playing fucking
maybe
asshole, right?
Yeah, maybe.
And Asshole's a good team, but you expect Chelsea to come away with the points there. This is the same thing, like Eric's question is, are you picking your team based on, you know, damage limitation, or are you picking your team based on...
It's not the same, though, because Mo and Mane are the highest scoring guys pretty much every year, except for, like, Kev last year, you know?
I mean, but if you think Kev, Raz are going to do the same shit, then... You know, that's the same thing. If you and you don't expect any of the defenders to touch, you know, Trent, Robbo, Van Dijk, like they're going to be top three.
I just don't want, like this is another like postmortem thing, right? I don't want to be spending transfers on my 6'5" forward. I want to be actively spending my transfers on Raz to Mo for these three games and then back. I'd rather spend my transfer on that.
All right. That's true. That's a good one.
But yeah, I mean, I don't think it's wrong. I mean, a thing that you and I think hammer home than other people in FPL is that there's no one essential and there's a million ways to win the game.
I think Trent is actually essential. I think you're really, really fucked if you don't start with him based on the price.
Yeah, okay.
The outlook. Like, I think maybe the first time ever. I think there's absolutely no tenable, reasonable argument really to not start with him at all. I don't see it.
Yeah, not at all.
But other than that, for sure with what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, I like the idea and I think it's something that I should actively play with and I think I will.
Yeah, I haven't that much yet, but
it is interesting. I mean, starting Trent Robbo, double barrel.
I mean, I did that last year, though, and it was a fucking nightmare.
Last year was fucking weird. I mean, Allison gets injured in game week one.
I know, but it's I don't forget.
Yeah, you don't forget. No one forgets that.
It was really bad. It like held my team hostage, and it was just really bad.
And then right when you got rid of them.
Robbo, he had fucking a million points, of course.
We know what happened next, folks. Ben Urfey, what's your biggest price surprise and biggest price disappointment?
I mean, Werner, it's insane to me that they put him at 9.5. It's actually insane. I would love to see why.
Yeah.
Like, I want to read three paragraphs. This is why he's 9.5. It just makes no sense.
Yeah, the only argument for it that I can even come up with is like if they think he actually might play like wing or something.
Which is not really...
Well, because he's done it a lot at Leipzig, like in a weird, you know, wide forward thing or something. It hasn't really hurt his numbers. I mean, it's
The thing is, okay, that's like, oh yeah, Obbs, like he played on the wing for the whole fucking year. He still had 200 plus points, you know?
Yeah. No, I don't understand it at all. I'm definitely disappointed in the Bob spread.
Yeah.
That's dumb.
Also, there's no real argument there. Like, how are you putting the player at 9.5? Jim, 8.5. What? Bob's like never had as many points as Jim in his career. And Jim's done it twice, like in a row, and he's a million less or something. Like, I thought Jim was really kind. I thought Jim was going to come at 9.5.
Yeah,
I was
really, 9 or 9.5 for sure.
Yeah, 8.5 really surprised me there. And I haven't played with putting him in the team or anything yet.
But it is very favorable. Ings too, 8.5.
Yeah, that was fine. Like, Ings, we were worried he would be even more than that. And, you know, you're definitely paying for what you're hoping to get with Ings. Like, it's going to probably take a little bit for him to out-earn 8.5, but even that at 8.5, you know, someone who's reliable and who, you know, probably like more maybe like 175 point range this season than like he almost hit 200 last, that's still fine, you know. Ings, if they have good fixtures, like he's the kind of guy with Southampton that you could, you know, maybe honestly almost like reminds me a little bit of Vardy. Like the kind of guy that just...
Yeah.
Makes the best of his not insane quantity of chances, but just is a good finisher. And,
just like harasses
keepers,
harasses backlines. Yeah.
I mean, he could do it again. He could score 20 plus again. Yeah, he's good. If he's, as long as the fitness is there, he's the team. The team is right for Ings. I do like Ings still at 8.5.
Yeah, I think we've covered most of the like surprising prices.
I thought Ziyech would be 8.5. I'm happy he's 8. It gives me an extra 0.5 to play with.
I was really surprised about Antonio. What do you think about Obbs? I was pretty like when I saw Obbs mid 12, I was like, ugh, that's like really harsh. Like, and I don't think many people are going to own him. What do you think about his price?
I think it's fine. I don't have any problem with it. He scores 200 points every year. And
yeah,
I mean, maybe his upside isn't like that great Mo year. It's not the main problem with Obbs is you're comparing him against Mo, Raz, Kevin. Like, he's never going to be
the problem.
That's the problem.
He plays on Arsenal and they play on Liverpool and Manchester City.
Yeah. So unless if Laka goes and he does start playing centrally, and then maybe he could hit a 30-goal season, you know, if they get a few extra pens and he's just slotting and they're doing it.
Yeah.
I could see that happening. I don't really have a problem with the price. He could have been 11, you know, or 11.5. 11
or 11.5, sure. I thought would be more fair.
Yeah, maybe they're trying to entice players because he's out of position now for the first year, and it's...
Yeah.
He's just... You know what you're getting with him. You know, it's just like fucking peanut butter and jelly. Like, it's just 12. You know, yeah. he's going to get you points.
Yeah.
When you don't expect it, you're going to be disappointed if you captain him, and you're going to be happy if you hold him, and sad when you sell him after a few blanks and he pops up with 16, kind of a job. So,
right.
I feel like it's fine as well. But what we also haven't talked about Foden, which is kind of criminal how we have gone this
Foden
long.
Foden and Greenwood, two guys we talked about on also on Postmortem, I think.
Yeah, two guys who haven't left my team.
I mean, I remember the thing that I said about both of them, and you agreed, was like, I don't see a world where they're not underpriced, because anything under like 9, I basically consider underpriced. You know, assuming like United don't buy someone, and we are led to believe that Foden's first choice for City, which, I mean, he didn't start today, which wasn't great for his stock, but yeah.
I mean
six,
Foden
6.5.
Yeah,
we were
Foden
talking
at 6.5.
8.5.
Yeah. It's the kind of thing, you know, he's not going to be nailed, probably like Mahrez wasn't nailed last season. And Mahrez still got fucking 5,000 returns, right, in 2,000 minutes.
Yeah.
If Foden plays 2,000 minutes, which he probably will do in the league, then he should be able to hit a lot of points. And
yeah,
I 6.5 is ridiculous.
It's really ridiculous.
It's really
unless
it's
they
really
have
nuts.
Some insider knowledge that we don't have, that Foden's just straight up going to be a backup again.
Yeah, no, it's. I think it's just nutso. And it's also Pep, every time he doesn't play Foden, they lose. So winning is good.
Yeah, I don't know. Hopefully that whatever happened today just means that lineup's never going to happen again. But
it'll definitely happen again.
Pep will continue to Pep despite the pepping. And then Greenwood 7.5 too. I mean, Sancho far from a done deal. It keeps being like rumor.
I mean, the thing with United, they play tomorrow or whatever. It seems pretty, if they win that, right, that they're probably going to be blanking, so we'll be able to play around there more. But if they don't, they're in game, Greenwood at 7.5 just feels overthinking if you go anywhere else, unless if you're going to, like, sure, okay. But Greenwood at 7.5 is just going to be, he's like Tony last year. He came in at same price, 7.5 mid. He has brace potential, right? There aren't a lot of mids that have brace potential in that under 12 million or whatever.
Yep.
And he's one of them. Same with Foden, right? Like, those are the kind of guys who, when you hit a 15 pointer on your 7 million mid, you're having a fucking 100K green that week at least. And those are the kind of players that you want to put on your team. So, yeah. Good.
Yeah, the only thing, I don't have Foden in my current tinker. I mean, we're weeks away from final tinkers. Because I just struggle so much with, like, not... I have all three of the big City guys. And I just struggle so much with who wouldn't I have.
Yeah, I mean, if I wasn't married to Ziyech, then I would be playing more with that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But Foden's... I just feel like when you're looking at a 4 or 5 million savings from Kuhn, Sterling, or Kevin, whichever one of those guys you don't have to Foden, it's just, that's obvious.
No, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's just an obvious
But then as soon as I take one of those guys out, I'm like... You know, am I starting without this guy? Fuck.
Well, that's what, you know, I mean, Mo is still a really safe, like, good guy. You know, you know that his floor is 200 points, right?
Yeah.
When we look at the other guys like Raz, I guess Kevin too, to an extent. I mean, he doesn't have to, improve to hit two. Like, he had 250 at 13 goals, never done that before. But the assists in the 20 range should be there.
Yep.
And, you know, if he, even if he has like 10 goals, like, his floor is 200 points as well. But otherwise, like, Raz, you know, he came and went, and, you know, he was really bad for 70% of last season. And when Kuhn went down, Jesus came and he started playing better. You know, there are questions around, like, those types of guys. So, you know,
that finish today, though, Raz.
Well, yeah, you know, that you really want that. And like, but like, so with OBS, like, 200 floor, you know, all these guys have that high floor. So,
yeah, I mean, Raz has the floor. They all have the floor.
Yeah, they all do. They all do.
It's just hard. Yeah, yeah.
It's hard.
So that was Ben's question, I guess. We just went off. God, we're just popping off on all these questions.
I don't remember what the question was.
I don't want to
remember.
It was
probably great.
Yeah, Do It said, thoughts on going without a pool mid, maybe having only one premium mid and spreading out the funds a little more. That strategy never works, right? I feel like it's always like tempting, but like having one premium and then a bunch of like nines.
Well, there just aren't that many, I think, this year that works. Mm. I think two's easy. It's really easy to have two, especially when, you know, like after Trent, you can just go with four fives or whatever and be okay
two
back
is,
there.
Two
and,
is very easy. I squeezed in like three-ish. Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like you're skimping a little too much otherwise, but a lot of that's going to also play on the fixtures, right? Like if you're good on captain with two for the first six, then you're good on two, and if you spread around and it looks better, then go for that.
Yeah.
If you don't need that third guy, you know, but yeah. But having no pool mid, I don't think is bad. Again, it's all of these guys that are priced, but like the 11 to 12 million guys, they're all great. And they're all probably going to get 200 points if they're fit. So,
and there's more than ever.
Yeah, right? There's like six guys. There's Mo, Mane, Raz, Kevin, OBS.
OBS. And that's just mids.
That's just mids, yeah.
There's a lot of guys, a lot of very good guys.
It's going to just be about if you get lucky with captain. Like, that's going to be the who's in the top 10K and who's in the
300K. Like scheduling your captains. To get
and hitting, right?
Hitting on the runs of fixtures where Kuhn starts three in a row against the bottom teams or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be like the home Newcastle game where everyone caps a City player and Raz gets 2 points and Kevin gets 13. It's like, oh, shit. Yeah. That's going to be the thing, that'll I feel like, in the beginning of the season. Yeah, that'll happen a lot.
Kev, my nemesis last season. Chucky, assuming an early game week 3 or game week 4 wild card is the plan, should you go all in on fixtures or still have a couple guys who are great long-term picks but maybe have meh fixtures? Well, neither of us have ever done that, right? And we've talked about it a lot, but we've never actually done it.
I've never done that.
So I don't really know what the move is.
We just don't know enough yet. The thing every year that plays against it for me are the teams that have the good fixtures are teams that I don't like. Like last year was Bournemouth, and okay, like Callum Wilson was getting fouled for fucking set piece goals every week, and he got points every week. But they're like, I didn't want any piece of any of those players, and you know, so I've always found like a problem with those things. Yeah. For some reason, but I like just having the good guys, you know, and I don't really pay attention to fixtures.
Team that differently, just in my head. Yeah. Like, I think you mainly go with like the guys you really like, and then maybe your 6-5 forward is Wood instead of Antonio because the fixtures
like,
are insane.
I like that. I agree. I mean, it's also just the way that the prices are laying is, you know, you can really like monster pile up on three or four teams and like fill your 11.
Yeah.
And be like, the fixtures don't matter when you have City attack, Chelsea attack, Liverpool D, Wolves D, right? It's like you can build your team with like all the Man United attack with all of those players and not have to even really worry about fixtures.
Yep. It's we're in for a doozy. Fear-riser, I guess is how you say that. Is Kane at 10-5 still too expensive? He's got a lot of competition. That's basically the end all be all, right? It's like, if they have nutty fixtures, maybe I'll consider it. I'm not considering it yet. He's the same price as Kuhn. It's a joke.
It's just, I'm so far away from Kane. It's
the thing with Kane is, right, it's like, if you told me before the price came out, I mean, before all of the prices came out, Kane's going to be 10-5, I would have been like, oh, he might be good. Like, because I expect Werner to be 10-5 or 11. I expect Kuhn to be 11-5 or 11. You know, like, all of these other guys to be much higher. And then, yeah, like, Kane comes in under, could be sneaky, could be good. But now, yeah, I'm just like, ugh.
No, that's important to think of it relative to the competition, right? Like, yeah, that's a really important thing because, yeah, that makes it not sound good. And it's still just the Mourinho attack. And, you know, we see him just these random games where he's playing DM and shit. Like, we never know when that's going to happen.
Yeah.
And they don't create that much. They just don't create that many chances. So, I mean, him 25, 30 goal seasons, I think, are just not going to happen again.
Dude, Werner's 9-5.
I am telling you, dude, people don't realize how good he is. It's a problem.
It's not a problem. It's the opposite of a problem. It's incredible for us.
He's 35%. Like, he should be like 50. Like, he should be in the 50. He should be close to Trent in ownership.
They fucked it up. I mean, they really fucked his price. He's the highest owned forward in the game right now.
That's fair, but it should be higher. It should be higher. He's insanely good. Like, he's so good. He could be the best forward in the league this year. Like, that would be very fine. Like, that's
fine. Yeah, that wouldn't be surprising.
And if that's the case, then that's a 12 million player. Like, he could easily hit a 12 million, like, valuation this season. Not a stretch. Like, that is 3,000 minutes. Like, I kind of expect that.
Don't fuck us, Frank.
Yeah, Frank plays him at left wing back.
Yeah, he drops him for 5 straight games. It's just like out of nowhere. Like, okay.
But that's the other thing. It's like they're tailor made for him. Like, they just go forward. Yeah. They just attack.
Attack.
He's
the pressing, everything he excels at perfectly.
He's gonna be really fucking good this year. I'm really excited for that.
How careful should we be about Chelsea having 3 new attackers if Havertz gets wrapped up? Generally see players getting eased in, being bad with the complete overhaul of personnel.
I mean, if they get Kai, it's just good night. Like, I'll probably have 3 attack. I would just put Pulisic in or maybe Kai. Like, I think that...
But I don't even know, where does Kai even play? Like, they have...
Bro, it doesn't matter. Look at the names. Look at what they're up to. Like, they're just putting world-class players on the pitch together. I get the betting in, and it takes time, and they're unknown quantities. Like, you know, you look at all these other known quantities. Like, I usually do agree with that, but with this case, I think it's another level. And, you know, with Ziyech, like, right, like, obviously I fucking love him, like, fine. So, I don't, like, guarantee know he's going to be incredible. I just know that I watch him play, and I feel like he's one of the best players I've ever seen in my life. And I don't care if that he plays against AZ Alkmaar or whatever. Like, even I watch him in the World Cup, I watch him in Champions League. Anytime I watch him, he's, like, the best player on the pitch to me. And, you know, Werner, same thing. And they have Pulisic. Like, they have, like, Mount looks good. Like, Frank proved himself this year. Like, this is what I'm willing to risk it on Chelsea taking a big step forward into that top two, top three, that their players are priced like they're going to be 5-6. Like, they're like Spurs pricing, right? And I feel like they're good enough that they could take a leap into, like, the clear third best team behind Liverpool and City. And I'm willing to give that gamble and roll those dice, like, in game week one, because I just feel like that's what I'm seeing from
them. Their commitment to just, like, scoring 100 goals and conceding 60 goals is impressive. Yeah. They're like 13-14 Liverpool.
Dude, Havertz, he's so good. Like, it's insane if they get him. It's actually insane. And what they have right now is also insane.
It's like sort of like... Yeah, I mean, it's just perverse if they get him. That's really what it is. It doesn't make sense at all.
But even now, like, Werner with Ziyech and Pulisic on either side.
That's fucking what I'm saying. Insane. It doesn't make sense because they're fucking nuts now and can't defend for shit. Yeah. And they have just millions superstars up front, and they just don't care. Frank just... So there was some amazing... I think it was an Anka tweet or something. He was like, Lampard's playing as if, like, he's free to roam forward. He, as a player, he was free to roam forward, and other people had to clean up after him and like do all his defensive duties. And then he was like, "Oh wait," it's just like he's making like the Lampard team. Like every player in the box, no defensive responsibilities whatsoever.
Not wrong.
Not wrong. Mourinho's Illuminati again. He said, "This is only my second year playing, so I don't have much perspective. Are this year's prices lower than usual for the premium players? Feels like it from the chatter on here and Twitter and Discord. And does overall pricing being up or down for premiums impact the game strategy for you one way or the other?"
Mm-hmm. It's like, I think a little bit of, there's a lot of things with the prices. Like, goalies are more expensive, right? So that's one thing. I think they're like, maybe if we push goalies a little higher, that they could knock down the outfield players by like 0.5.
Interesting.
Because that's definitely been a trend, right? 2-3 years ago, there were like a lot of 4 or 5 goalies. Like a lot.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
At least like majority around of like the 10.
League. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And now there's like 3 or 4. I think there are 5, right? There are the 3 promoteds, and then there are 2 more. I think Ryan and maybe someone
McCarthy
else, but
McCarthy
and Ryan might be up the only
something
ones.
Something like that, yeah, yeah.
And you know, so when you do that, Heaton, like okay, Heaton. That's an admission. Heaton, sure, yeah. But when you bring the premiums like at the same position and they're all like within 0.5, it just means that if you're paying for that slot, that you have, you know, this clump, like this glob that you have to choose from. Which is good, I think. It's just it yeah. makes it less like tiered and light. Like before, I think like there were a lot of like there's always an 8-5 forward. There's always a premium forward, right? Like sometimes you'd have the cheap one.
Yeah.
Like back when like Drew was in Arsenal, right? Like there was always like he was the 8-5 forward in Arsenal. Like and then there was like the premium, like Kuhn was 11 or RVP was 12 or whatever, right? And we had like all these different spots on our teams, like almost like premeditated that you had to have them in this price.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you had to have one of these 3 or 4 players.
Yeah.
And now it feels like there's just a lot more variety. Like because there are so many, yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it goes hand in hand with the league, right? Just the league keeps getting richer and richer. All the best managers in the world keep coming. All the best players in the world keep coming. And there's there's so many guys. Like,
it used
to be a much simpler game in that sense because it was just like, well, obviously I'm captaining Suarez every week because there's not even another option I would ever consider. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, the defense also, too, is kind of interesting because it seems like they're trying to put a lot of the same guy. Like this year, there were a lot of 4-5s, but last year there really weren't. Right? Remember, like, we were having a really hard time.
Bad, yeah.
Yeah, they were bad. We were having a really hard time with 4-5s, and last year there were more like 5s and 5-5s. And this year, the 5-5 bracket's actually pretty devoid. It's like there's Doc, and then I mean Dean at 6, right? But it's really just 5 million and under is the defense.
The 5-5s kind of suck.
Yeah, and there aren't that many.
Yeah.
But it's like you can, other than Trent, Robbo, and Van Dijk, right? You have Doc at 6, and then everyone else is 4, 5, or 5, pretty much. So that also gives you a lot more money to put in attack. If you go down there, you could be okay.
I mean, like whereas on Discord, I saw a lot of people are just going Trent, 3, 4, 5, and 4-0.
And Ferguson, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know if that's that much different than years past, but it feels like this. Maybe it's just also an evolution. Right? Like you're talking about, teams are better. They're just like more good players in the league.
Yeah.
But it does definitely seem now like
it
that there's going
to
be a lot more variety. Yeah, it does seem like they're cheaper players, easier to fit players in and shit.
Yeah,
and,
I mean, dude, I have just in this tinker, which is whatever. I already want to make like 10 moves just after potting to this team, but I have fucking Kev, Raz, Kuhn, Werner. And like, I didn't even struggle to get them all in my team. Like, I don't remember years past of having like fucking 4, basically 10 plus players.
Yeah. And I think also this season, 12, Mo and Mane are 12, right? And Obbs. And this is the lowest price that the most expensive players in the game's been like ever, I think. Like last year it was 12.5, before it was 13. Like some, you know, it's always been more. Like, that's a big deal too, because you know, you want the best player. Like, you want the guy who's going to be most expensive. So if that's also down a half mil or a mil from normal, then that makes you, you know, have more money to go elsewhere. So, I mean, having more of the good players is fun, right? Like, that's
also really fun.
It's giving us. So that's awesome, I think.
Really fun.
Yeah.
That's it for questions, bro.
Okay.
Anything else you want to hone in on? Do you want to even go over our current tinkers? Because mine's just like,
no, I don't think that's useful.
We should talk about Ferguson. I'm curious what you think about Ferguson, because when I was in Discord this morning, and I was like, no, Ward is still the starter. I don't think Woy is going to like bench Ward. But everyone else apparently saying, like, according to Palace, you know, whatever, fans and FPL, they're saying Ferguson's the guy. Like, do you think he's going to start? Do you have any read on that?
That's the most unfounded thing ever. That's just ridiculous.
That's how I feel. I'm just what are you talking about?
Like I was saying on Discord earlier, it's just preseason is going to be the thing, right? Like, obviously, Joel Ward has his best years behind him, but, you know, we see Woy pay, you know, we pay 100K for Max Meyer and he doesn't play him for 2 years.
Yeah.
So if Ferguson's not ready and he's not doing what Woy wants on the training pitch, then he's just fucking not going to play.
And I genuinely think Woy trusts and likes Joel Ward. I mean, like,
he does what he's asked. I mean, he can't attack, but he doesn't like, make monumental fuck ups and whatever, but he's not good, so it's not going to take some world-class right back to be like, holy shit, this player's much better than Joel Ward. But we don't know if Ferguson's that. You know, we got him on a free, he's really young. He could not start a game until game week 15. You know, that would surprise me. But to me, for that one, it's just take a really close look at preseason, see what Roy's saying. Because we want him. We want Ferguson to play. Like, we want him to take the fucking job. Like, Joel Ward sucks.
Yeah.
But it could easily not happen. So, it's definitely.
I'm with you there.
So, it's the same thing with like Cy Mitchell, right? Like, if PVA is still fucked, I mean, that's better to me. Because he's playing. There's no competition. He's actually, first choice. They're both four. So, that's even more interesting to me.
Yeah. I like that. Anything else we should talk about? I mean, it's kind
What do you think about the 4-5, like, we didn't talk about goalies at all, which I'm obviously, I love talking about goalies, but
Keaton and Nyland in, and I haven't looked at it since. Just like first tinker, I was like, let me find a 4-5, and I was just like, yeah, okay, that's fine. I think Keaton is supposed to be fit, and if not, then that means Nyland's a starter, and you could go with like double 4-0 Villa keepers. Which is cool.
That's perverse.
Yeah, that's cool. But I don't know. I mean, Villa, they turned my eye with that Project Restart defense. Like, I didn't see that coming at all, and they were good. And honestly, Heaton is way better than like Pepe Reina at this point in his career, probably.
Heaton's really good. Heaton's still really good.
So, I don't know. That's just where
I'm still just worried about Dino just not doing the right thing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And starting to open up and do some mad shit, and they're just horrible again.
I think McCarthy's fine. We shouted him on the pre-cog pod. It's annoying that Gunn is 4-5, but...
Yeah, Guan.
I was looking at, like, Leeds, maybe?
Meslier, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't even know who's first choice, though, because Casilla played, like, the first 30
matches.
He's
supposed to not
be
there. He's supposed to not be there anymore. Yeah, he's like did some racist shit. And he's supposed to be out.
So Wayne Hennessy did a fucking Nazi salute, and he's just never leaving. So
no, he was just waving. He was just waving goodbye.
He's just calling over the Applebee's waiter.
Leeds. I still think Johnstone's interesting. Dude,
Johnstone. The thing that caught my eye particularly about Leeds is actually two things. One is that a lot of people hate them.
Yeah, like, why? Is that like an 80s thing or what's up?
Yeah,
like
it's they used rivals to and all this shit. Because Discord, people are just shitting on them constantly in Discord. And I'm like, this is kind of weird. And then the other thing is when I was looking up the relegation odds, they're like very far from relegated. It's like, here's in order. West Brom, Fulham, Villa, Palace, Newcastle, Brighton, Burnley, Sheffield United, Leeds. Sheffield United, more likely, according to Vegas, to get relegated than Leeds. So I'm like, wait a second. Like, Bielsa is supposedly this genius. Vegas is reflecting that they're like probably a really good team. They were by far the best team in the championship, numbers wise and everything. I'm just like, oh, maybe they're actually like kind of good.
Maybe Leeds has like the most per capita Gamblers Anonymous meetings in UK or something.
That's also possible.
That's a possibility.
Yeah, that's also
It doesn't
possible.
Make sense. Like, you're talking it's about really Sheffield United. Weird, right? Like, it just doesn't make sense. It's not logical.
I saw that and I was like, whoa, okay. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to make of this. But
What do you think about Ryan? I was looking at Ryan. I was like, I've never owned him before. I'm
just
like,
so
is
bad
that
at defending? And I don't know.
But they're going to run into just the whatever cleans, right?
What, the whatever nine cleans or six the year before? Is that 10, what you refer? Is that what you're referring
to? Yeah, like
to?
If they get like 10, if they get 9, 10, 11 in that range, like he's just as good as every other one. Do you think that's like Villa are going to have more or Villa are better? I feel like Brighton are a good team. That's the thing. Like they're like Brighton are good. You know,
wait,
I feel like Brighton are good.
When did you start thinking Brighton are good? Because you always hate Brighton. I feel like
I have a love hate with Brighton. I feel like that their on pitch performances are like,
yeah,
I'm up, I'm into it. Yeah. I like the things. I just hate them also.
They're very aesthetically pleasing. They're also very bad at defending with horrible numbers. I mean,
they
the
have
thing-
such good individual defenders though, like if they put
compared
Lamptey
to the
over,
other teams, yeah, compared
yeah,
to the
like
other
that's
teams,
why
yeah.
I, when I that's what I'm comparing him to the
they
other
also
four
have
five teams
like DMs and shit and fullback. Yeah,
yeah, that's
I mean,
why I just like, why wouldn't they just luck into the things?
Yeah, I mean, the thing that made me get him, remember he was fucking hauling like first third,
because he was
the
getting
season.
The pass completion percentage,
pass
he was getting all
completion
the baps.
Bonus, yeah. Which could actually be a thing, you know, because it's fuck. What's their fucking manager's name again?
Harry Potter.
I was about to say Southgate. Dude, I'm fucking high. I slept 2 hours. I woke up and FPL was up and I was fucking fucked. Yeah, I mean, it was only his first season. Like, they could take a step forward, I guess, but they were just so bad. They were just so bad. Defensively, they were...
I don't know, dude. I like the Brighton situation.
I mean, listen, Villa were way worse over the course of the season. They were just better in a small stretch at the end. So
it's I feel like Southampton, like they're so much more vulnerable on, you know, the counters and like Brighton. I'm like, I don't know.
Because
dude,
of the press,
something
you mean?
Yeah. Like I think they have the high line. Like we'll see the sick new kid they got, the Ghana kid, but...
I mean, Brighton are, like, a really shitty version of, like, City. It's like, when they clean because of possession, not because of, like...
Or because of Ryan, because he's actually a good shot stopper, and he gets 11 pointers when they clean.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah.
I don't know. Just chat. Johnstone. Interesting. They don't even have another goalie in the game.
I know.
Game
I right saw now. That. I loved that.
It's so good.
Yeah, no. As long as we spend 8.5 or less at the back, I'll be proud of both of us.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even really care that much which one it is. Like, that's thing, too, is with those goalies, they're all going to be within, like, 10 points of each other. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and we're going to get an incredible headache trying to pick which one, and it doesn't fucking matter at all.
West Brom, that shows you how much they rushed. Like, they didn't even put Pereira... Like, they just didn't even fill the team.
I was looking for Sidibe is not in the game.
Is he not?
Yeah, there's some randos that just aren't in the game. Willian's not in the game.
Well, are they not, like, signed? Because did Sidibe go back
Willian
on loan?
Willian is officially signed for Arsenal.
Yeah, well, that happened, like, today. But didn't Sidibe go back on loan, or do they have him?
I don't remember.
I thought he went back on loan. I don't know. I thought he went back on loan.
Oh, fuck.
To Monaco or whatever. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, maybe.
What about the other thing we didn't talk about was the 4-5 defender spot at all? I mean, other than Vinags, obviously.
Well, Vinagre
talk about
is
him.
Just Ruben... Gonzalo Silva Nascimento Vinagre is just...
It's pretty good.
He's just so nailed. It's just another mistake that we have to just punish FPL
Towers
for.
He should have been 5.
Minimum 5. Minimum.
Five would have been fine. 5 would have been fair.
The reason 5 isn't fair is because there's no world where Johnny was going to be less than 5-5. And
But he's not the same player. Like, he's not that good.
But Johnny doesn't get attacking returns. Yeah, we're not talking about a guy who gets like 7 assists and shit. Like, he's just there. He's just good because Wolves are good for FPL. I'm not talking about real life. And Vinagre is going to get all those clean sheet points that Johnny would get. So and he's just so nailed. It's ridiculous to not have him, frankly. I mean, in part of your preseason notebook was Burnley and Palace being predictable,
cleaning the bad teams. Yeah, Burnley Taylor has the fullbacks. They're all 4-5.
Yeah, Taylor's been nailed in my side.
What happened with, like, Lowton didn't play last year, and then they had Long was playing, right?
I got confused because
Bardsley was playing.
They have Lowton and Bardsley, and they have Taylor and Peters.
Well, Peters playing mid.
Right. And and is also the backup left back. And
Peters is bad. Taylor's the pick there, right?
I think Taylor's the pick. Safe pick. But then matching that with a Palace guy, maybe it's Mitchell, maybe it's Ward, not sure. Lamptey is 4-5.
Everyone's hurt.
Lamptey's 4-5, I like him.
Even like Webster and shit.
Yep.
But you like Lamptey there. I mean, Villa also is like House and shit.
Actually sick attacking.
Yeah, he can get assists.
Yeah.
House, like Villa has like the 4-5, like Target, like they have the 4-5 guys. Leeds has like Dallas at 4-5 was a surprise, right? We thought he was going to be 5.
Yeah, he should be 5. Yeah, usually like Ailing's 4-5. Usually the super attacking fullbacks get the like 0.5 hike or whatever.
Newcastle has a 4-5 option. KWP on Southampton's attacking 4-5 option.
But I have Ben Davis.
Dyer?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh my god, dude. Dyer takes the direct freeze.
They're both so nailed.
Dyer.
But yeah, I mean, 5-0, that was a precog thing, right? It was like...
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. 5-0. Really? Spurs.
5-0 Spurs Mourinho team. It's really
good. Start every week.
Start every week guy. Yep.
Yeah. Dyer. I've been playing with Dyer here and there. I'm still just like all over the place with the price structure. Yeah, I don't know what I'm doing, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, Dyer... Yeah, Davis. Well, we have to see too with Aurier. Like Aurier is the one probably 5-5 who is maybe a guy because he had 8 attacking returns last year. Like he could do better than that if he played 3,000. Like he could be like a Raba. You know, he could do that. He could do like a 175 or a 180. I wouldn't be too surprised if he actually played every game.
Yeah. Which it seems like
they came up to like 13-14 assists, yeah. But they're talking about him leaving, so I don't know.
I don't know what the fuck that thought process is. They have no other right backs, but
Aria is definitely someone to think about, though. I think.
Yeah. And Ollie's 8, which was another you were like a guy to keep an eye on, not start game week 1, but if he's support striker and he's 8, that's a fucking crazy price potential.
Yeah, but he still has an attacker on Spurs. You know, you hate to see that. Wait, what about Doc? What are you? Because I'm like having a hard time with Doc. He's my existential crisis.
I have not fucked with him at all. He's still great, and there's absolutely no reason to like not have him. Really.
Well, there's like a new like row of things on the FPL page. When you click on their name, it says like their ICT thing compared to everyone else. Oh, in the position.
I don't even know what that is. I just ignored it.
Well, Doc is threat 1 of 172, which I like that.
Threat gauges players who are most likely to score goals, part of the ICT index. So he's number 1?
Yeah.
Okay.
Trent's only 8. Oh, fucking
yikes.
Fail. Hate but he's won in all the other 3 things.
Oh, really? Yeah. That's good. Yeah, oh, I mean, God. Doc is great.
Doc's great.
He's fucking 6. Great.
I think that's underpriced also. I thought he would be 6-5.
Yeah. Oh my god, I'm gonna do so much tinkering tonight. Just from like talking with you for an hour, I'm just like, fuck, I wanna try this.
Ziyech, dude.
Not sure if I'll have Ziyech.
You won't. Yeah, no, you won't. You won't. I'll have him, it's okay. I'll have him for both of us.
I think that's it, bro. Anything else you want to talk about?
No, we're good. I think we'll get out of here.
Yeah, we'll have the actual structured preseason pods to come. So that's when we'll really get in there and shit.
And we're starting with premium?
Start with premium, yep.
Okay. We just have to figure out what the price is for premium.
Yeah, yeah. We'll talk amongst ourselves. Let me slap asses. We got a ton of new signups. Preseason, man. This is when everyone signs up, gets in their Discord. Best time to be in there.
And they quit next month.
Yep. Patrick Marston, Martin Baker, Matt D, Jack Neal, Fergal Roche, Vincent Lachane, Hamfish, Midgame, Ben Monkman, Elliot, Daniel Ray, Blake, Matt Williams, Matt Chad, Jared Hughes, Janko, and Ibrahim Khan. Get in there, baby. Let's go. Slap that ass. That's it from me. Any last words?
That's a good job,
check us out. At FMLPO.com, follow us on Twitter at FMLSquares, Patreon.com/FMLSquares.